To be eligible for SSDI, we have to be technically eligible and medically eligible. Now, the technical eligibility requirement has to do with work credits. For someone who is over age 62, they're going to need about 40 work credits, at least 40 work credits, which is about 10 years worth of work. If someone is drawing disability at a younger age, they're not going to need as many work credits, but there's a chart we need to understand. Does this person have disability insured status? Did they work enough, pay enough FICA taxes to where they're eligible to receive SSDI based on their work credits? If they are, they're technically eligible. So what happens to the people who don't have enough work credits? Maybe they were too disabled to be able to work. Maybe they were stay-at-home parents or Texas teachers, didn't pay into the system. For those people, they are not going to be able to use Title II. They're going to be moved to Title 16 Supplemental Security Income. We've talked a lot about SSI during this conference. As we know, SSI comes with a monthly payment. The maximum amount, the federal benefit rate in 2020 is $783 a month for an individual, $1,175 for an eligible couple. Remember, this is a needs-based benefit. It's designed to provide basic food and shelter for an individual. So you have to be needy to qualify. You must have limited income and limited assets. When Social Security looks at income, they are looking at different types of income, which some of us wouldn't think of as income. Of course, we've got the regular earned income from wages, but unearned income can include child support, military survivor benefit payments, it could include an inheritance from a grandparent. It could include all kinds of things, a personal injury award. That is all considered income in Social Security's eyes. In-kind support and maintenance is another type of income. This is food and shelter that someone is providing. We're going to get into this a little more. And then deemed income, of course, is when a spouse's income counts for another spouse or a parent's income counts for a child. Besides the limited income, we have to have limited resources. We know this. It has to be a person who's applying for SSI must have less than $2,000 in total assets. It's measured on the first day of the month. Parents' resources will not count for a minor, will count for a minor child, but not for an adult child. A resource is anything that can be converted to cash unless it's specifically excluded. There's a whole list of exclusions. In this room, our favorites are special needs trusts and ABLE accounts. Okay, to be eligible for SSI, you also have to be technically eligible and medically eligible. We've talked about the technical eligibility requirement for SSI, which is the financial requirement that you're poor and needy. The medical eligibility requirement is going to be the same for SSI and SSDI. It is, however, different if we're talking about a child versus an adult. If we're talking about a child to be eligible medically, then Social Security is going to look at these six areas. These are functional areas. For example, we're going to have a parent fill out a worksheet. How is this child functioning at home? We're going to have the school teachers and school officials fill out a worksheet. How is this child functioning at school? This picture makes me smile. I'm actually the mother of a child with disabilities, and this is my daughter. She's 25 now, but it makes me smile because as a mother of a child with disabilities, you don't have a lot of pictures sometimes with smiling, happy faces, especially if your child is not able to communicate. So, and bam, she grew up. Okay. The definition of disability for an adult changes. Now we're looking at workability. The official diagnosis is whether or not that individual can engage in any substantial gainful activity. Substantial means they're working more than just a little part-time job. Gainful is how much money can they earn? SGA, substantial gainful activity, has a set amount in 2020. If a non-blind individual earns more than $1,260 a month, they are engaging in SGA. They're earning a substantial amount of money. Social Security is going to go through a five-step evaluation process to determine if someone is disabled. The first step then is this person working? Are they engaging in SGA amounts of work? So if the individual is earning more than $1,260 a month, they're not disabled, regardless of their diagnoses, okay? The next step, if they're not earning that amount of money, the next step is, and by the way, there are some exceptions. I'm speaking generally, there are some exceptions to get a higher amount. But generally speaking, if you don't qualify for the exceptions, then it will be that amount. Is the medical condition severe? If it's just a fleeting issue you deal with and it's not severe, you're not disabled. The third step is, does the medical condition meet or medically equal a listing? Now, Social Security has what it calls a blue book. It's a disability evaluation under Social Security is the official title. In that blue book, there are a listing of impairments and the criteria that will allow someone to automatically qualify as being disabled. So it's important to understand what the blue book is and what these listings are. If someone meets the listing, say they have Down syndrome, you go look at the listing in the blue book, and you can see, is it mosaic type Down syndrome, non-mosaic type, and it will give you the specifics of the evidence you need to qualify someone as being disabled. If they meet that listing, then they win their case. If they don't meet the listing, it's not over. We just go on to the next step. The next step is, can a claimant do previous work? So if I file for disability, I'm going to be evaluated based on whether or not I can perform legal work and other work that I've done in the past. If I can't do that anymore, then I go to the next step, which is, can I do any other type of work in the national economy? This is a pretty serious step, okay? And this step is going to be evaluated based on age, education, past work experience, transferable skills, functional capacity. There's a lot that goes into this number five. Age has a big deal. Age is a big deal. It makes a big difference. If someone is older, it's going to be easier to win a case. If they're younger, then maybe they haven't had enough time to try to work and fail.